Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, September is flying by. It's already September 23rd or 24th, depending on when you're listening to this. Last week's show, we talked bikes and biking to work and bike safety and the different trails that surround the Concord area. It was an awesome show with Tim. And also just want to put out a big shout out to my running friends. We had a great race at the Hookshead Kiwanis course, if you will. It's become known as their course, but it starts at the Hookshead Library. So lots of my running friends were there, so thank you. And then Sunday we also did the strut on the Sutton around the lake, which was really cool. So we've had a lot of emphasis on wellness, like I mentioned, the biking, the trails. We've had Tom Walton on. We've had Brian from Johnson Gold's Harvest on, talking about, you know, we are what we eat. So today, kind of along that vein, a little different path, but importantly, with me is Dr. David Hamlin, one of our great colleagues at Northeast Delta Dental, and he's very eclectic. He's done a number of things. He's one of our in-house dentists that support Northeast Delta Dental. And today's topic is on vaping. But David, before we specifically get into vaping, tell us about your background. Obviously, you went to dental school, you've practiced dentistry, you're also an entrepreneur. I think my feeling is the listening audience is always intrigued, you know, when they hear from you. So tell us about your very robust and eclectic background.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you. Well, yes, I took a lot of different pathways during my career, not just chair side, but a lot of work in the clinical research area. And wellness has always been close to the heart of interest to the projects that we would get involved in. Dry mouth and smoking cessation are two of the other areas that really have been key to my career, and vaping has come into the focus of the last couple of years because of the unbridled growth we're seeing and its potential to actually impact our society at large. So my eclectic background notwithstanding, I've put my attention to this subject area for you today, and hopefully we can bring some information to your listeners.
Great. And again, before we get into it, though, let's talk a little bit about dry mouth. It's a very relevant topic. Obviously, the other thing is people live longer and everybody is on meds. Obviously, you know, the incidence of dry mouth has increased, obviously, as people are on more and more meds. So tell us a little bit about dry mouth and some of the things you're doing to educate the public about it.
Will do. Unfortunately, with dry mouth, like a lot of other conditions, and I use heart disease as one of the predicates, until the Surgeon General and other American Heart Association came out in the 60s about what heart disease was actually doing to our population, most people walked around with conditions they didn't really realize were damaging to themselves. Dry mouth is kind of like that. We have an accommodative disease where people are losing the ability to function. Their oral condition worsens with time, and just drinking water is just not a cure for this. It really is a lifestyle change, a drug modification program, working with your clinicians and your nurses, your dentist particularly, to try to come up with what works for you so that we do not suffer the consequences of this unfortunate condition, which can lead to a lot of periodontal disease and tooth loss.
Are dental schools, you haven't been in dental school for a while, but you're obviously in tune, are they teaching more about this to the students?
Yes, there's more awareness as we start integrating the medical and dental arts and field together. We know that the body and the mouth are intimately connected, and what happens to one happens to the other. So a dry mouth condition can worsen the overall health of the patient. So we do have a lot more awareness of what this condition is, particularly in an aged population where we start seeing decay and cervical breakdown around the bottom of the tooth, where a lot of times it doesn't hurt a person until too late. And this can be a decimating outcome for a patient who's had relatively quiet dentistry and no real needs during their life to all of a sudden have a number of decay spots show up almost overnight.
Getting long in the tooth, so to speak.
Yes, sir.
And I like the fact, you know, I end every speech in the community, regardless of what my topic is, which is you can't have good overall health without good oral health, and or the mouth is part of the body.
Correct.
All right, well, let's get right into vaping. What is vaping?
Well, let's talk about the science of what it is and where it came from. In about 10 years ago, the industry started to look for alternatives to how to deliver nicotine as a smoking cessation therapy. And also the FDA started signaling that they wanted to regulate what the level of nicotine was going to be in cigarettes. So there's been a lot of work technologically on creating delivery devices that can deliver nicotine without the tar and the cancerous materials. But we're not quite out of the woods when we've put it into the format that we have here in vaping. So vaping is a electronic device that basically takes a liquid over a battery element, which heats it to a vapor form, or in the e-cigarette, a smokeless form, but it's still vapor. And it contains a nicotine, a flavorant, and also the carrier, which is in most cases propylene glycol or glycine, which is a vegetable product. Both of these carriers are innocuous in normal liquid states, where we have these materials all around us in our consumer product categories, from lipsticks to skin lotions to toothpaste and mouth rinses. Everything has it in there, but when you vaporize it, it transforms it. And I'd like to talk a little bit further about that.
So are you saying that this actually began with research on trying to deal with cigarette smoking cessation?
Yes, yes.
And now, of course, it's advertised as an alternative.
Yes. It's kind of interesting. In 2014, the Centers for Disease Control reported that more than 250,000 youth who had never smoked a cigarette before, that three times as many users were using, 250,000 that had never smoked a cigarette before, were using vaping products. So it's becoming a choice for people who didn't normally smoke, but they find some enjoyment in doing it. Some of the products do not have nicotine. They are strictly flavorants and the propylene glycol or the vegetable glycine. Those are not without their risks.
So it actually created new users?
Yes.
That's one of those awful ironies, I suppose. Oh, my God.
Yes.
So if you're vaping with nicotine, then that's got to be carcinogenic, correct?
The products that are in the vapor phase of the propylene glycol or the vegetable glycol have a carcinogenic transformation. They become a formaldehyde. And byproducts of formaldehyde. And we all know formaldehyde from carpets and other home building materials. We know that it's a fixative for tissues. For at least in my dental school education, that's how we did our work on human body cadavers. They were pickled basically in formaldehyde. Putting that in the lung seems to be counterintuitive, but that's what happens. The nicotine itself is not known to be carcinogen, but it has its own CNS and cardiovascular events, from the mild, you know, dizziness to tachycardias and other types of cardiovascular events.
So according to science, if it's not safe to do this and there's a certain amount of risk to it, so like why is this all happening? So you've got to explain the risk again.
Interesting. The Food and Drug Administration proposed on bringing these e-cigarettes and vaping under its control under tobacco in the spring of 2014, but it's been meshed in debate and lawsuits. Now the lawsuits are coming from small and large companies that are trying to protect their $3 billion industry and growing.
So, oh my God, David, you're depressing me here because we're exporting our cigarettes to the third and fourth world and then losing market here. Then we're creating a whole new slew of users with another bad habit.
Another bad habit. And unfortunately, this is part of the program's value, is sharing that it's not innocuous, despite what you may be told at the retail site or in the blog space. This has its risks. on the most innocuous side, cutting back is probably the best strategy. You know, if you're going to use less. Now, compared to cigarettes, this is far less risky, but it doesn't mean it's risk-free.
Wow. So let's spend a little time and get into the gory details and describing the impact on the lungs.
When a formaldehyde product or an aldehyde or some of its more esoteric byproducts hit the lung, we see some microcellular changes in the cells. And I'll use the analogy that when we're looking at a body that's been pickled in formaldehyde, the cell walls are pretty solid and stabilized. They do not collapse. And that's what's happening at the lung cellular level, too. We are hardening the cells so that they do not have the expansion capacity. The oxygen exchange capability is related to that ability to breathe in and out, meaning expand the cell wall and take it back in. If we make that stiffer, we have less of that capability to do it, both on a macro and a micro level. So that is probably where I would, if somebody was using this product, I would say probably try to keep it in the mouth if you could. And after the break, I'll tell you about some of the impact on the mouth, which is not as damaging as in the lung, but it's still not without risk.
So dentists are we'll get into that in more detail after break, but dentists are starting to see the deleterious impact of vaping then.
Yes, I believe they are, yes.
So we probably should get some continuing education courses out there, don't you think? You
know, I would think so, yes. I mean, this is one of those things when the industry starts promoting heavier and heavier, which they will, and you must understand the larger companies that are in vaping are the tobacco companies, because they see this as an alternative to keeping their hand on their tobacco industry, the supply of nicotine to the population.
So that's one of the bad things about capitalism, I suppose. And I'm a big capitalist, but in any event, we'll return after commercial break with Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Dr. David Hamlin on vaping. All smoke and no fire? ? No, obviously, there's some problems, as you heard. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio on this weekend of September 23rd and 24th. And again, want to thank all my running friends for turning up at the Hooksett Library for the Kiwanis race last weekend, as well as on Sunday, the Strut on the Sutton. That's always a great race around the lake. So as I've mentioned, we've had several guests talking about proper nourishment, proper wellness, proper rest, proper physicality. And now we have this weekend Dr. David Hamlin, who I mentioned works with me at Northeast Delta Dental, is a great asset to Northeast Delta Dental, but does a ton of other stuff. And if we have time, we'll get into that. But our topic today is vaping as well as e-cigarettes. So let's maybe start there, David, Dr. Hamlin, and tell us the difference between e-cigarettes and vaping, because probably a lot of people think of those as interchangeable.
Right, and it's not hard to imagine they are, because they're talked interchangeably in the press. I follow a lot of cars as I come into the office each day. And of recent, I'm noticing a lot more people who are vaping. And how I know they're vaping is because out of the driver's side window, I will see a cloud of smoke. It looks like a white puffy cloud. It'll come out of nowhere. And I'm like, what was that? And that's the vaping. That's the propylene glycol vegetable glycine mix once it's released out of the lungs. And it's a huge volume, even compared to smoke or cigar smoking. It's quite surprising. It almost looks like the car is combusted somehow. You will not see that in e-cigarettes. Now, I got to tell you that even with the vaping products, we have not talked about the cannabis uses of this technology. And more cannabis, where it's legal, are starting to see vaping as a delivery mechanism for cannabis, which is not combusting the weed, the actual plant product, but putting it through a vaporization product with the same materials, and to get the THC out of that. And
wow. So that kind of leads me to my next question. What are some of the dangers of secondhand vaping?
Okay.
If there are.
because this is such a large cloud of material, if you're in a closed room or in close proximity, you can be exposed to this. And if it's on a regular basis, I believe it has a deleterious effect on use. Many of the restaurants and public spaces have been challenging users to, if you're vaping, we want you to step outside. We do not want you to do this in a closed area. E-cigarettes are starting to be treated a little bit similarly because they do realize that nicotine is getting out with these other components, and they might be affecting the clients around. There are some other problems with the vaping materials that are left in secondhand smoke, including silicate particles and aluminum particles, which are known to cause problems in the lungs, including silicosis and again, hardening of those lungs when they're exposed over a long period of time. I certainly wouldn't want to have children or people that had respiratory issues around these products.
Okay, so put your dentist hat back on. You are a dentist. You do a lot of other things. Yep. So if I have a young or older patient that's doing e-cigarettes or vaping, what are some of the signs I might see? And then what would you recommend to that patient?
Well, if I notice that a younger person has an unusually dry mouth and some really inflamed tissues, I naturally will ask them if they have been using products like vaping or e-cigarettes, because I want to know the causation of what I'm looking for. The problem with the glycines and the glycols are they are much like a hydrogel, and I'm sure some of your listeners use hydrogels in their daily life, including soil additives where they have moisture control. Well, it grabs moisture out of what you've poured in and stores it. Well, the same thing's happening in the mouth when you introduce this into the mouth. A film is created around the mucosa, and it grabs the available liquid from saliva or otherwise if you drink, and locks it into this film. Well, that doesn't make it necessarily available to hydrate your mouth. It's there, it's just not available. So a lot of times, constant chronic use will have a dried look to the tongue, fissured tongue with a lot of cracks and crazes in it, sore mucosa on the side of the cheeks, and the gums along the teeth, especially the front, will be inflamed and red. And there'll be no other reason for it. Home care would be great. Patient can, use a normal brush and toothpaste, yet they still have this condition being shown. My job is to try to figure out the causation and then propose some solutions once I educate that patient. A lot of times I'll ask them, is there a reason why you're using the product? Is there a way that you can modify that use or eliminate that use?
And that would be the solution, cessation, stop.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, here we go. Oh, my God. So we're exporting old-fashioned cigarettes to the third and fourth world, and we're building the youth market here.
Yes. I mean, so, the companies that sell this material, they know how to sell habits and addictions.
Wow. So let's get into that. So let's get into what the statistics show in terms of users.
Yes. The interesting thing about cigarette smoking, from the 1965 era when the Surgeon General report came out, we had about 40% of the population smoking cigarettes on a regular basis. I'm sure the older listeners here will remember how ubiquitous cigarette smoking was in our society, including doctors and dentists.
Right, it was everywhere. Nurses did it, doctors, yeah. And I know when I started my career at a large insurance company in Boston, and I'm not exaggerating here, I would say that 80%. Of the men smoked, and they smoked right next to your desk.
Yes.
And get this one. I would probably say over 50% of the women also smoked.
Yes.
Also, people smoked on airplanes.
Yes.
That shocks my kids when I say that, but there was literally a smoking section, in an airplane, which is ridiculous, both from a safety perspective and a carcinogenic perspective. But that's the way it was. I had to get in those days you wore a suit every day, I had to get my suits literally cleaned every day. So it was definitely ubiquitous, to use your term.
I remember quite distinctly being a young man sitting in my physician's office doing a wellness check as a young child, watching him smoke 3 cigarettes during that interview. It was quite amazing. However, here's where we're at. 40% of the population smoking at that time. Come up to 2012, 18% of the population is still smoking at this point, and we're talking cigarettes. Amazingly, the tobacco industry has only lost 8 million users because of the population gain in that same period. They have not lost their market position. They just lost the ratio of the larger population that was smoking. So overseas, it's growing in leaps and bounds. Anybody that has tobacco stocks can recognize overseas stocks is growing faster than the U.S. stocks. But tobacco companies are not hurting here in this U.S. market either. And vaping products do give them an opportunity for growth.
Oh, dear. So I wish they would use their creativity in other ways. So let's summarize this topic. I mean, just maybe confirm, expound upon, you know, can I safely vape, and your final comments as well on e-cigarettes.
I would say that the research is pretty compelling. It is not safe to use this product. It's not as dangerous as a traditional cigarette, but it still has its dangers, and they cannot be diminished or just wished away. The more you use, the more at risk you're going to be. I just want your listeners to remember formaldehyde, and I know that's a term that if you said, I want some formaldehyde, most people would say, no, thank you. So if they'll remember that, I think I've accomplished my mission here today.
Remember formaldehyde. I like that. Definitely stay away from that. Well, I mean, it's like what I used to say about cigarettes. Like, okay, cancer stick. You're basically ingesting cancer. I mean, and obviously it's a habit, so I'm not trying to minimize. I mean, people obviously, you know, when the smoking, you know, in the 60s, as you referenced, I mean, they were, until the Surgeon General's report came out, there were actually legitimate scientists saying smoking wasn't harmful. So to some extent, you could say, okay, that was our level of education. But it's clear now, obviously, that smoking regular cigarettes are carcinogenic, and you're saying, what, 18% of the population. So obviously, they have the information. So what a difficult, you know, habit it must be. And that, in turn, then creates this kind of ironic potential solution of, well, we'll minimize regular cigarette smoking by vaping, and then that creates other issues, and so it's a vicious circle. All right, let's end on a positive note. There's so many exciting things going on at Dental, and I'm gonna give the listening audience just a handful. So Northeast Delta Dental acquired a company called Previsor, which is software that's been installed on most dental offices in New Hampshire, Maine, and Vermont, and it's allowed hygienists and dentists to do online question when you're getting your cleaning, and depending on your score, you can get an additional cleaning and other services scheduled. So I went in the other day, and I'm not doing HIPAA violations here because I'm self-reporting. So my score was a 3. So it was awesome, David, because right there and then she applied when she was done the adult fluoride varnish, and then she scheduled me for my third cleaning in the calendar year. So that's pretty exciting, wouldn't you say?
That is.
Evidence-based dentistry.
It is. I mean, we're struggling how to keep the public engaged in their healthcare, and any tool that allows a communication to go in between a professional and the patient, where the patient will remember the critical information that needs to be translated in a way that they can kind of factor it into their daily life, is a very valuable tool, and Previsor is one of those.
Awesome. And then some dental offices are actually giving a printout, a nice colorful picture, to their patients. And I know some dentists have told me it's really enabled them to. It's one thing for them to say, you know, you're having a growing perio or gum problem, but if you can actually see it. And then I had another exciting thing in May. So as you know, we made the lead donation to establish the dental school at the University of New England, and the first graduating class was this past May in Portland, and many of the graduates were New Hampshire, Maine, and Vermont students, now doctors, and the way the University of New England works is that they had, I'll use a layman's term here, clinical rotations in some of the underserved areas in Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont, and many of those students, now doctors, dentists, are practicing those underserved areas. So there are a lot of exciting things going on.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the fact is that for years, New Hampshire, Vermont, and Maine have been literally waiting for dentists to come from the surrounding regions to serve the population's needs. And here we're growing our own experts who understand the nuances of the market.
It was very awe-inspiring that day, and many of them are practicing in these underserved areas. And then we also do a scholarship program for Tufts Dental School, so many of the graduates from Tufts who end up practicing in New Hampshire, Maine, and Vermont get a scholarship from Northeast Delta Dental. And then we're also, as you know, switching gears, introducing teledentistry to the Boys and Girls Club, which we'll have to get you back on for another show. But that's basically for the listening audience. It basically, dentistry in suitcases, you know, show up at the Boys and Girls Club in the Concord area in Manchester, and we're seeing the underserved children there. Some of whom had never seen a dentist until like age 8.
Wow.
So we have hygienists that we also fund, and then of course if they need additional services, they may go to the Easter Seals Dental Center in Manchester or Savings People's Smile, and we support both of those. So a lot of exciting things. Thank you though, David, for educating us on vaping and e-cigarettes. And final word on that, don't do it, right?
Don't do it.
Very good.
Thank you.
Okay. Tom Raphael with Dr. David Hamlin. We'll return next week and with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.